Heavenly Father, that is our goal. Where you lead, we'll follow. What you tell us, we will do. Where you say go, we'll go. Sometimes we get a little hard-headed, but you know how to redirect us. So, Lord, keep us in that mindset. You lead, we follow. Used to be a sign that said, God is my co-pilot. No, God, you are the pilot. Lord, when we learn to follow you, we do what you say do, then the outcome is what you have designed. Lord, I pray for the outcome today that we would get a wake-up call and that we'd realize how important it is to seek out your truth. And then, Lord, we would seek out your truth and apply it to our hearts. Let your will be done, and we'll give you praise and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I was missing in action last week, so I had to call people this week and find out what the text scripture was this week, and I was thinking, Leviticus. There are books in the Bible that have challenges, and Leviticus is one of those books that has challenges. And then when Kathy told me Exodus, I was thinking, Exodus, this is great. And then, of course, you still run into a challenge. So when I was looking at this text this week, you know, most people don't believe that God believes in comedy. I had one friend that said, if you don't think God has a joke, think that God has jokes, look at our plan. You know, you get to think about that. That makes a little sense, you know, because we can be pretty comical at times. This is one, to me, one of the two funniest stories in the Bible. The first one, I think, is in Numbers where Balaam talks to the donkey and the donkey talks back. And my question to that was, who looks like the donkey? You know, I see people walking down the street talking to themselves all the time. And then sometimes I look up and they got a headphone in their head. They still look like a donkey. I don't care how you look at it, you know. And all that conversation, all that business is out. And when I looked at Balaam, and we used to have real early morning Bible study, and my kids were rolling because there's no way you could look at that and laugh. And then we came across this one. If you, I guess you would call it a comedy of errors. You know, I did this, and all of a sudden this happened. It's kind of like I went to the store, and 10 pounds of rib jumped in my basket, and I walked off. Well, I don't think it would be a comedy when they sent security after me, would it? And that's kind of like this story. So when I looked at this chapter, I thought about democracy or theocracy. I thought, you know, we rule by polls. Well, the president had an 80% poll rating this week, and now he's already dropped 25 points. And people hate the president, but Congress is at 9%. When you rule, when you make decisions based on polls, it's kind of like anarchy. Whatever goes, that's what we do. You know, unfortunately, God is not a democracy. God is a theocracy. With God, it ain't the majority of us rules. It's the majority rules, and he's the majority. And unfortunately, I know people think they can argue with God, but your arms aren't long enough. And your mind isn't big enough. I listen to people say, well, when I stand before God, I was looking at the AARP, and you know, I get AARP magazines out. But they don't wait. They used to didn't send them to you till you were 55 years old. I got one when I was 50. Maybe that's telling me something. They say, well, here's Dustin Hoffman on the front, and he talks about questions he's going to want to ask God. And I took the magazine and threw it in the trash, because guess what? When you stand before God, you won't be asking questions. It's all there. My mom used to say, you'd be naked as a jaybird. You know, because we get new clothing if we're saved. If we're not, I wonder if you get to go to hell with clothing on. That could be kind of, especially if you had nylon on, that could be a very painful burn. Well, it's going to be painful anyway. Well, let's look at this chapter. And if you've got a Hebrew Greek Key Study Bible, it has, the subtitle is The Golden Calf. The Golden Calf. Like, so we're going to talk about, if we want to give it a title, Leadership Issues and Cost. There are issues that leaders have. There are costs that you pay for right decisions and wrong decisions. Well, let's go back and read this. So if we look at it, I want to look at it three ways. I want to look at it in Acts. It's like a play, a comedy of errors. Act 1 is the golden calf. Act 2 is God's commandments broken. God's commandments broken. Act 3, God's judgment. We're going to look at the golden calf, God's commandments broken, and God's judgments. And I'm going to try not to travel too far. We're going to try to stay in this text and see what we can find out here. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. In other words, they're saying, we don't know what has become of him. Now, I have a little problem with that. The problem I have with that is they had seen Moses and his talks with God. They had seen Moses. As a matter of fact, they were looking when he went up on the mountain. But all of a sudden, they don't know what has become of him. So that I imagine what happened in the camp is about this time, they took an opinion poll. And on this opinion poll, Moses probably only had an 18% rating. You know, it's pretty bad when the people only have an 18% rating of your work that you do. That's pretty sad, you know. It means that they have a lack of confidence. It doesn't matter that you haven't been attacked by the enemies around. Nobody's come in and tried to wipe your camp off. But he's only got an 18%. And I imagine Aaron probably had about an 80. That's our guy. If I said to one of my boys, that's my dog. Aaron's got it. Aaron is the guy. So what do they do? They know what Moses has taught. They know what God has said. And they go to the next guy. That's what people do. It's like when people don't like the opinion that the doctor gives, then you go to another doctor. And that doctor gives you an opinion and it sounds good and you die 2 days later. You should have listened to the first guy. But they didn't listen to Moses. They didn't want to listen to God because they were a type of people like we are. Stiff-necked, hard-headed, stubborn. My mom was one of the most stubborn people I knew until I met myself. I got it from her. I really did. That something that she drilled. My parents drilled some things in us. One thing my dad said is do it right the first time. And he made mistakes. We all do. And my mom said, do it so you can be proud of it, so you can sign your name on it. So if I do something, I don't back up. Yeah, I don't back up. I was taught a long time ago that when a man makes a mistake, he can admit that. And I've even had to confess that to my kids. They found out that I wasn't a god. That's the same. You know, when they were little, they thought I was the greatest thing since apple pie. But here the folks, Moses went up on the hill. They knew Moses was going to have a talk with God. And if Moses was going to have a talk with God, who was he talking about? Them, how to lead them, how to direct them, how to guide him. Moses was a guy. I like this guy. You know, he didn't do anything without consulting God. How many decisions have we made in our life without consulting God? Well, you know, I want to go to Florida. Did you consult God? I remember I was one of the candidates for the pastor at a church, and they thought, boy, this guy would be a great guy. And I'm trying to figure who they're talking about because I'm not a great guy. But you'd be the perfect. And I'm like, you know what? As much as I like what you have and what you see, I've got to seek out the Lord. Well, Reverend, you really, I got to seek out the Lord. Brother tried to get me to come to Tennessee. You know, do we need some pastors down there? I said, brother, are you scared to leave? No, I'm not scared to leave. I got to seek out the Lord. And if the Lord gives me freedom, then I'll move. It's like when we came here. My wife and I, when we got married, one of our commitments was that we take care of our parents till they die. And people looked at me like I was crazy. Well, my mom and dad died in the first 2 years. We came up here. Her dad died 6 years later. Her mom died 13 years later. And they died in my house. And people looked at me like I was crazy. Well, where else do you want to die? I told my wife, if you can take care of it, take care of it. If you have to take me to the hospital, that's okay. I watched my aunt take care of my uncle till she couldn't. And then she took him to the hospital and he died in her arms. Dad woke up and said on Tuesday, February the 25th, 1992, he said, can I go home now? And on February 27th, 1992, at 1 p.m., he closed his eyes and went home. We prayed before we made that decision. I was in a church very much similar to this church. Good people, good body, good teaching. The love of the Lord showed. They didn't need committees when somebody went down. They came to the aid. And it was hard, and I had to meet with the elders, and the elders said, "Why are you leaving?" I said, "Because we've got marching orders for the Lord." And I was almost in tears, and I'm not a crying man. "But we got to go." He said, "But you know, because so many people had left and had been this." I said, "We're not leaving out of anger. The Lord has told us to go." And I got the prayers and approval of the elders when I left. And we came up here. So here's Moses, is a man who doesn't make any decision without spending time with the Lord. And then there's Aaron. Now, I don't know about you, and I guess I'm surmising again. I've walked with Moses, and God has said to Moses that I'm going to be Moses' mouthpiece, because Moses had a problem. Moses took him a little while to get the words out of his mouth. But here's Aaron, the eloquent guy, the talkative guy. He uses good speech. He doesn't chew up his words. He does what Moses says. Moses says, "Aaron, put the staff down." Aaron puts the staff down. It becomes a snake. Pharaoh's boys put theirs down, and his snake eat their snake. I'm not real fond of snakes. But Moses has walked with, Aaron has walked with Moses. He's learned from Moses, but somebody saw a glitch in Aaron's armor. That's why we have to be on guard in Christian leadership. There are people who can see a glitch in your armor. That's why we tell people, don't spend time away from the house of the Lord. See, the church is intended to insulate you. When people get isolated is when they get problems. You see, we want to do it our way. And God says, "I want you to do it my way. There is no other way." "But I'm strong. I can handle this." God says, "No, you can't. You need to be right here." I found in the church that if I was struggling, you know, we go through sickness and all these different things. And I used to sometimes have pity parties. You've had some of those, haven't you, where you have pity parties? And then you come to church and find out here somebody got a worse problem than you got. And you know what? No matter what I go through now, I don't have a pity party, because I know that some people are struggling worse. That's what the church is about. I think I shared with you, Chuck Swindoll said, a sorrow shared is half a sorrow. A joy shared is double joy. He called it the sweetest proverb. Makes sense to me. So they go to Aaron and they say, Aaron, what's up with Moses? You know, homeboy that went up the hill and we starting to get concerned. Why should they be concerned? They knew exactly where he was. But all of a sudden, they got what we call this spiritual brain deadness, spiritual amnesia. You know, when you know you're not supposed to do something, but you do it anyway. You act like you forgot what God said do. You know how it is. You know, I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm just going to try it. God will forgive me if I do this. We slap God in the face when we sin and we know it's wrong. So what does second man in command says? He said, "Now, look, I tell you what you do." He said, "The earrings you got, give them to me. Hand them over. Give them to me. You know, the earrings in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, bring them to me." And you know what the people did? Because they went for that second opinion, they did exactly what Aaron said to do. Why didn't they do what Moses said in the beginning? Be reverent and wait on the Lord. Because when you go for the second opinion, in a lot of cases, you're looking for a way out to do what you're not supposed to do. So they went for that second opinion from Aaron, and Aaron told them what to do. And it says, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. And after that, he made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel." Now, let me tell you what Aaron does to cover his thing up. When you get to the next verse, he says, "And tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Aaron knew what he was doing was wrong. The people knew what he was doing was wrong. But they were hard-headed. They were stubborn. They had a mindset that they wanted to do what they wanted to do. Now, you got to understand, when you're working in leadership and you're working with people like that, you spend a lot of time on your knees. You spend a lot of time praying, because what happens is a lot of times stuff can get done because you're always fighting against the tide. It's hard to lead people who are constantly fighting against the tide. I can remember being in church meetings and hear people arguing and fussing and fighting. And I'm like, what is our goal here? Forget it. They don't do that at the Elks. They don't do that at the Masons Hall. You know, if you go to the Masons Hall and you get to doing that stuff, you out of there. Are you in a fraternity or a sorority or some professional group? You're going there clowning. And they say you're out. But at the church, we tolerate. And Moses had some of the most contrary people to lead. But Aaron himself was a little bit contrary, because instead of Aaron doing what God had said do, he says, bring the stuff to me, I'll make a calf, and then he sugarcoats it. And he says, and tomorrow we'll have a feast to the Lord. If you've got your Bibles open, you look at verse 5, it's not Lord, small L-O-D, L-O-R-D, it's Lord, capital L-O-R-D. He's going to have a feast to God with a golden calf. What's wrong with you, boy? What are you thinking? And you know, when people do that, they don't think anybody's listening, anybody's watching. I tell the kids often, I say, remember that time you stuck your hand in the cookie jar? Mom and Dad might not have been watching, but God sure was. Remember when you went down to the store and bought that lottery ticket, cost it was $180 million? Your pastor wasn't watching, but God sure was. Remember when you went out to the casino and instead of eating, you decided, well, nobody else watching, but God sure was. Saw a kid the other day. I used to coach, and it was real interesting. I picked up a newspaper one day and was reading a list, and the police had him on the list because he liked to go out and visit at night. Four daughters. What example have you set before your kids? Aaron. So Moses goes up to the mountain. Aaron calls a conference, a congregational meeting. Aaron decides, I'm going to set up a new order of worship, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to sugarcoat it and say, this is a feast to the Lord. We knew it wasn't. Aaron knew it wasn't. The people knew it wasn't. But he did it anyway. And it didn't go unanswered. So we've got the golden calf. Well, let's talk about God's commandments broken up. You got to get the picture here. Remember, we're looking at this act, and here's a scene. Here's Moses up on the mountain talking to God. Lord says to Moses, go down to your folks. Go down to your folks. They're acting a fool down there. They've turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed there unto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of Egypt. We know it wasn't a golden calf that brought them out of Egypt. Matter of fact, you can go back and read earlier in Exodus, and it says that he led them out with a pillary cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And when that pillar moved, Israel moved. When that pillar stopped, Israel stopped. And that pillary cloud and that angel that went with them, that's what the pillary cloud was, it didn't leave them until they went to the promised land. It stayed with them all through the desert. 40 years to take an 11-day trip. That amazes me. 40 years to take an 11-day trip. How many times have God had to send you around the circle doing something until you learned what it was he told you to do? How many times? How many years does it take beating your head up against a wall until we do what God tells us to do? I tell kids often, they keep running into the same problem over and over. What is God trying to teach you? If you keep running into it, there's something you haven't learned. So guess what? He's going to keep teaching you until you learn it. And hopefully you learn it before you hit the grave. And then once you learn it, then teach somebody else how not to do that. God doesn't give us lessons to sit back on our duff. He gives us lessons so that we can be a testimony to others. My wife and I, we got married. We lost twins. And it was rough. It was really hard. I think if we'd had twins, we might not have had any children. Who knows? But we lost twins, and it was, I can remember her crying. I can remember the I was hurt. But Lord, why would you let this happen? And I had friends trying to explain. And it wasn't long after we ran into another couple that had a miscarriage. And guess what we had to do? We helped them through it. God does not bring anything into your life that you're not to learn from and not to use as a testimony of it. But getting back to it, so here's Moses on the mountain. God sees what's going on. They got the calf now. They having a party. I bet they had their version of Tupac Eliezer, you know, the hip hop sign. Leanne Shabbat, you know, they had their version of the music of today, and folk was having a good time. They was having an all-out party around this calf. They were shaking it. They was having food, and so they got up and they rose after they got done doing what they did. They rose up to play. Now, when the scripture's talking about playing this, they did something else. And I don't want to go into too much detail with the young kids, but the parents know what happened. This led to a great discussion between God and Moses, because you know what? God was a little fed up. And do you think when you look at this text that sometimes he gets a little fed up with us doing what we do and pushing us off as Christianity? You know, we talk about the love of Christ and we can't speak to each other. We talk about how God has changed our lives and we got brothers and sisters that we haven't talked to in years. We can't smile and say, how are you doing? We can't give a greeting. We have a shadow on everything we do. But we love each other. Oh, we got the love of Jesus in our heart, but I can't stand that person over there. They did this to me 25 years ago. Bitterness eating them up. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Might have been a good idea. Most leaders today are not willing to suffer for their people. They don't mind if their people suffer for them. I work with churches and they give pounds to the pastor. And I said, I'm like, what are you doing? Well, you know, they take care of the pastor and half the congregation's on welfare. Folks living in ratty houses, they can't pay their bills. They can't do the bait, but they're giving pounds to the pastor. And the pastor said they're accepting it. Here's Moses when a situation came down that was rough on the congregation. Instead of him saying to the Lord, wipe them, I said, Lord, blot me out. I'll take the punishment. That's a leader. A leader who will lay down his life for his people. He said, don't wipe them out, Lord. You know how they are. But don't wipe them out, Lord. Don't make me the guy. But if you look at the average leader today, he's like, yeah, let them go. I'll handle that. You know, take care of me. You know, I'm the guy. You know, make sure I'm driving my Mercedes on Sunday. Make sure I live in my nice house. Make sure I eat the... But, you know, yeah, you know, and some of them tell you, you know, that God is blessing them because they live that way. See, some people got theirs by earning it. Some people get theirs by other people earning it. But here's Moses, and Moses is a humble man before God. You know, God has a way of breaking you down. Moses was a proud warrior for Egypt. But after 40 years in the desert, working around some stinky sheep, seeing that burning bush and seeing all those things, Moses humbled himself. Because Moses recognized that he was in the presence of the Lord. When he got to the burning bush, he didn't say, well, God, let me tell you this. Lord said, this is holy ground. Take your shoes off. Moses took his shoes off and bowed down. Doesn't sound like the people here today. I'm going to tell God this and I'm going to tell God that. But let's move down. There's a discussion that went on between the Lord and Moses about this. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why for should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountain and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own hand, by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. They're written on both sides. Moses gets down the mount. Now, he's training somebody. We often talk about leadership in the church. Every person that's teaching a class, I want you to look at the kids around you. Every adult in here, look at the young people that's sitting around you. That's the future of this church. I'm 53 years old. I could be dead in a year. I could be dead in 20 years. That's the future of this church. What are we teaching them? What are we showing them in our actions towards one another? Are we teaching them how to follow Jesus, or are we teaching them how to follow us? And then if they're following us, are we following Christ? It's amazing certain things that kids, I hear kids say, and then you ask, what are we teaching them? Those little things that we think nobody hears, our kids hear. Those little things that we think nobody sees, our kids see. What are we teaching them? Are we teaching them to love Christ? Are we laying out, want them to memorize scripture, but then we have an indifferent attitude toward them. What does that say about us, and what does that say about Christ? See, in order to be a leader, you had to learn to follow. And Moses took Joshua up on the mountain with him, because Joshua was next in line. I don't know if you remember where Aaron made the mistake, and the Lord said, you're not going to cross over. Aaron wasn't going to lead him over Joshua. Now, I want you to listen to how Joshua responds. Well, verse 17, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. Joshua hadn't learned the sound of the trumpet yet. The people of God need to learn the sound of the trumpet. How do we learn the sound of the trumpet? We spend time in the Word. I'm constantly drilling the kids. You need to learn what the Word says. When the trumpet sounds, you'll hear it. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Joshua wasn't prepared to lead yet. He was being prepared to lead. And so when Joshua heard the sound, Joshua thought it was war. But Moses said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing I do hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and broke them on the ground. He broke the commandment of God because of what he saw. He was that infuriated. How often do we get upset at what we see and break the junk that's in our heart so that we can deal? Moses broke those commands. He was that infuriated. And then, you know what he did? He didn't cover it up. Sometimes we take the ungodly stuff and we put it in the closet and maybe it'll go away. Or we take it and sell it at the garage sale. Or we give it to Goodwill. Moses took that ungodly calf and he ground it up, put it in the water, and made them drink it. Didn't have a garage sale. He got rid of it. He broke it. He shredded it. He made them drink it. Because he was angry about what the people who were supposed to be the people of God were doing. He could have said, you know, Lord, just wipe them out. You can make me. But he said, no. He chose to come back and serve. That's a servant's heart. He chose to come back and serve God and work with those people to lead them and direct them properly. I told my kids, we were looking at this story, and I said, have you ever been around somebody that was lying? You knew they were lying. They knew they were lying. And they knew that you knew that they were lying. And then they turn around and say it to you, ain't that right? You ever been around somebody like that? They want to convince you that what they're telling you is the truth, and they already know that you know it's a lie. Here's Aaron. Here's Aaron. Let me see if I can find that part. When I read this, it just blew me away. Bear with me just a second. Moses looking at the calf. Aaron's looking at the calf. Moses' mindset, he knew where it came from. But he wanted Aaron to say where it came from. Aaron took this thing and twisted it around. So what Aaron does is he says to Moses, and I don't mean to be taking too much time, it's kind of like a miracle. Well, let's look at it. And he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, ground the powder, and strewed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and then came out of the fire the calf. So Aaron took this gold, remember I said about the lashing, and he cast it into the fire, and a calf jumped up. How many people believe in evolution? In the school system, what do they expect you to believe? In evolution, right? They push it. Something, some spit was on the ground, and that spit was in the water, and it oozed up out of the water. And all of a sudden, this primordial spit all of a sudden developed a tail. Then it developed little funny eyes and little funny heads. And then one day you had a lizard. And then one day that lizard decided it was going to stand up, and it became a monkey. And then one day it looked over at its mate and said, you so ugly, and stretched up, and it became a man. Is that a stretch of belief? That's what they're teaching our kids. That's what Moses, that's what Aaron did. Aaron stretched his belief. I'm going to be done in a minute. Well, let's go back. Let's look at it. The first thing we got is a golden calf, choosing to do something that God had chosen not to do. The next thing we have is a breaking of the commandment. Moses broke the commandment because he was so upset at what Aaron did. But you know what? One of the costs of leadership is there's a judgment day coming. Well, let's look at it. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And folks would take offense to that because God told them to kill them. It's amazing. The scriptures talk about the death penalty. We don't like to hear it because we say it's been misused. And God is cruel because he talks about the death penalty. But what God understands is that if you don't remove the evil from amongst you, it will destroy you. One bad apple does destroy the whole bunch. If you take a rotten apple and you put it in the bottom of a basket, you wait a few days, a few weeks, and that whole basket will be rotted. And God went and cleaned out the mess. And the children of Levi did what he told them. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses told them what to do. A great sin made the gold, gods of gold. He says, and the Lord said unto Moses, whoever hath sinned against me, him I will blot out of my book. Therefore now go lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I shall visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. There are a lot of good things you can have in leadership. There are a lot of blessings that come. But there are costs when leaderships make a bad decision. In this case, Aaron made a bad decision, and it cost, you can read later, how many thousands of people it cost their lives. Now, you could just pinpoint that and say, well, this is just an Old Testament story. But then ask yourself, in the decisions that you made, in your families, in your jobs, in our jobs, how many things have I said or how many things have I done that have turned people off to Christ? And what is the cause? It's amazing. Scripture says in 1 Peter that judgment begins at the house of God. And if the righteous scarcely in the end, what should be the end for the ungodly and the sinner? Now, some people would take that and they would be afraid. What that says to me is I better make sure what I'm doing. 1 Corinthians 11 says that we need to do an examination. That's part of our communion service. We need to do an examination of our lives and make sure that it's right before God. Unfortunately, some people didn't do the right examination. They went for a second opinion. It says, for that reason, some are sick and sleep among you, which is a Christian term for death. Some Christians made bad decisions. Just like folk in Israel made bad decisions, some of us have made bad decisions. And for some of us, it has cost us. And for others of us, it has led to some things in our lives of misery. Now, what we want to make sure is that we're teaching the kids so that they don't have to go through everything that we go through. That doesn't mean that they won't have some problems. That don't mean that they won't have some struggles. But we've got to teach that. In leadership, I should have learned to follow before I step up to lead. A lot of times we put people up in leadership because they have charisma. I'm not talking about charismatic. They have charisma. They have something about their character. They speak well. They do this well. They do that well. And we make bad decisions. I've watched people put people up in leadership that weren't ready, and they destroyed everything before. Yet I've watched, and it has nothing to do with how old or how young you are. It has something to do with how well you can follow directions. And if you follow God's directions right, it's amazing what you can do. But if you reject God's direction, it is amazing the damage that can be done to so many lives. Moses made decisions. Eventually, one decision he made cost him his trip over into the promised land. Aaron made a decision, and it might seem like a little thing, but it cost hundreds, maybe thousands of people their lives. Tell you what. I don't want to make a decision that will cost people their lives. I want to make a decision that will bring people eternal life. We've looked at Israel. We've looked at decisions that were made. We've looked at what God did when people mess up. Now, what you got to understand is what God is going to do if we mess up. See, all this is about eternity. We live now, but there is a hereafter. There is no tomorrow. I've never looked at the calendar and seen a tomorrow on the calendar. Matter of fact, I looked at the calendar on Sunday and the next day on it is Monday. I'm not guaranteed Monday. I would like to be here on April 11th. You know, we have our men's celebration. I'm not guaranteed that. Okay? So what I've got to do is I've got to trust God. But if I'm not guaranteed, there's some things I can be guaranteed. I can guarantee you, if you reject God's plan, Scripture says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I can guarantee you that if you reject God's plan, you will die and go to hell. It's no joke. The Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I can guarantee you that if you accept God's plan, you will go to heaven. Because that's what Scripture says. Philippians, I want to say 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will be able to complete it until the day of Christ. God guarantees what he does. In John 17, Jesus said, I pray not just for these disciples, but I pray for those that believe on his word. Christ has guaranteed something. How he set up his guarantee is Christ went to a cross and died for me. See, at the feet, foot of the cross, every one of us can put our name down there if we're found in Christ. He went to the cross and died for me. But he didn't just die for me. He said, you know, this is not complete. He said it's finished on the cross, meaning the work that he had to do. But there was another part that had to be done. See, he had to get up. See, so he died for me, and then he got up for me. See, he lived for me. He was sinless for me. He was wounded for me. He bled and he died for me. And after he laid in the grave for 3 days, he got up for me. And that me is every one of us. He could have stayed on the throne. He could have said, you know what, Father, let him suffer. But he chose to die for every one of us. And then when he got up after 3 days, he chose to live so that every one of us could have eternal life. So that we wouldn't have to be afraid of death and the grave. You see, I know that the moment I close my eyes, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And I can only know that for me. I can't know that for you. Only you can know that for you. So if there's a time to make a decision, the time is now. Now you need to decide whether you want to live for Christ. Because if you don't live for Christ, surely you will die and go to hell. If the trumpet sounds, and all of a sudden you look around you and people disappear, and you're still here, you're planning on dying and going to hell. There's no other way I can say it. There's no in between. We like to sugarcoat it because people don't like to hear that word. That's called fire and brimstone. I don't want to sugarcoat it to you. I want you to understand that this is it. It's Christ or nothing at all. Moses didn't see Christ, but he saw God. And Moses understood God's plan for Christ over time. As you begin to read scripture, Moses looked for a home that wasn't made by the hands of man. And you'll find that in Hebrew. David said about his son, he said, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. David was looking for the eternal Savior. The prophets called him Emmanuel, God with us. The virgin birth they talked about. They talked about Jesus, the Savior. Every mother in Israel wanted to be the mother of Messiah. And it ended up with Mary. And Mary took the things that Jesus said into her heart. And I believe that Mary accepted Christ. I may be wrong. And she'll be in eternity with him. But she'll be in eternity just like us. We'll be the bride of Christ. Only if you're found in Christ. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, come here. Let's sit and talk. If you walk away and the horn sounds, the scripture says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you can't say, Lord, save me fast enough. So now's the time. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. Don't do what Aaron did, made this false God and then talked about a celebration of God and wasn't about the real God and God had to bring punishment on Israel. Don't let God have to bring a punishment on you that will last you throughout eternity. Again, if you don't know Christ, there are teachers here. Some of the teachers stand up. Just stand up for Mr. Medford. James, Bob, Shears, they're teachers here. Gilmers, talk to your teacher. Ask them about Mr. Molitor. Talk to them about salvation in Christ. Miss Daniels, talk to these people about salvation in Christ, and they will tell you what Christ has done in their life. If you don't know him, you need to get to somebody who does know him and let them tell you about what Christ can do for you. When you come to Christ, or you get saved, then get some time in the Word. Call me. I'll sit down and study with you. But get serious about this thing. This is real. God has made a promise, and he'll keep his promise. You need to make sure you're on the side of that promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the privilege of coming together and looking at your word. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would open our eyes. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't go for that dangerous second opinion that the people went for an errand. Lord, but we will look for that first opinion that your word has, that the preaching of your word has. Lord, that is lived out in daily examples and Christians around us. Lord, that we would truly seek out the truth of your heart. And I know that there are people in this congregation today that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray that that would be a decision that would be made before they leave this earth or before you pull the church out of this earth. Lord, wake us up. Wake us up. Things are going on in the world today and we're missing. We're just looking away like it's no big deal. And everything in it points to your soon return. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But the scripture says you'll be coming back soon. So Lord, again, I pray that everyone that's under this ministry would answer the call that you sent out. And we respond with an affirming yea. Lord, I'll accept you. I'll believe you. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. But let that be the affirming call. And let that be our answer. And Lord, we'll praise you. We'll praise you eternally for what you've done. We thank you, and we ask these blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.